Brothers and sisters, please open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Now, it's been a few months since the last time I was with you. But last time I was with you, we were working through Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 15, more or less. And this evening, we'll go through Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 23. It's okay if you don't remember everything that I said a couple months ago, but just a bit of a glimpse into what Paul has been addressing up to this point. Paul has been encouraging the people of Colossae about the perfection of Jesus Christ, that he is preeminent, that he is glorious, worthy of all our praise. Just a few examples here. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Colossians chapter 2 verses 9 through 15, it speaks to us of how in Christ we have died. In Christ we are buried. In Christ we are made alive again. In Christ there is victory over the devil and over all those who seek to destroy his people. Now in Colossians 2 verse 16 through 23, we get to what is perhaps his first big push. His actual point, the thing he's trying to apply to the people of Colossae. There are false teachers among these people, leading astray the people of God. And therefore, Paul speaks rather directly about these men who would seek to turn us from the goodness and the glory of Jesus Christ. Hear then the word of God, Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you are still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Thus far, God's holy and inerrant word. Friends, let's go before him in prayer. Lord, our God, we pray for your help this evening to understand and to apply these words, to see in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ how we are to live, how we are to remember him, hold fast to our head, have him as our substance. Father, we pray that you would teach us this evening to rejoice in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I was a very small child, I often had trouble sleeping. You know, some kids, they'll lay in bed and like a light, they're out. You know, their head hits the pillow and they're gone. That wasn't the case for me. Very often I would sit in bed, eyes staring at the ceiling, nothing to do for a couple hours on end while I waited for my brain to shut off. And very often, or rather occasionally, as I was laying in bed there in the darkness, looking around, all of a sudden something would catch my eye. There, in the corner of my room, was an ominous shape. Something dark and looming. Surely watching me in the shadows. And I would sit there, lay there in bed, terrified, watching this huddling shape staring at me in the middle of nowhere. And I would sit there, uncertain of what to do, until at last I gathered up enough courage to jump out of bed, turn on the light switch, and it was a pile of clothes. Or some toys. Or something else that was completely innocuous. Something that was really, really not scary. In the light of the light bulb, or from the light of the light bulb, I could see the truth that it was not a person, it was not a monster, it was nothing. It was just something inconspicuous. My fear disappeared in that instant. Well, with that image in mind, congregation, consider the passage before us this evening. Over the past few times that I've been here, we've been looking at the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And here in the book of Colossians, Paul addresses the blessings that are to be found in Jesus Christ. That we are filled in Him, that our old nature is removed by Him, that we are given new life in Him, that we are forgiven of our sins by Him, that we are protected by Him. And all these things, brothers and sisters, they are wonderful gifts. But now, Paul says, in the light of the gospel, in the light of these gifts, because of the gospel that we receive in Jesus Christ, our only Savior, therefore, we ought to leave behind the teachings of this world. Therefore, we ought to ignore false teachers. And false teachers had indeed snuck into the church. They were leading the Colossians down a bad path. And so Paul encourages them and encourages us this evening to see the teachings of false teachers as shadows, as selfish, and as self-made. These three things we'll see. We begin with this, friends. We ought to see that the teachings of false teachers are shadows. They're shadows. Look with me at verse 16 and 17. It says, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Notice, friends, the things that the Colossians were hearing about. Paul gives us a list of the things that these false teachers were trying to enforce. There are two things especially that he talks about. Prohibitions about the things that they ate, and prohibitions, commands about celebrating special days. And you'll notice, brothers and sisters, that both of these things, both of these sets of commands that they're trying to enforce, are commands from the Old Testament. Leviticus 11 tells us that the Old Testament people were commanded to stay away from certain foods. Likewise, Leviticus chapter 23 and some other passages tell us there were certain festivals in the Old Testament that the people of Israel were commanded to observe during the year. So these false teachers, they would grab their Bibles, they would open up to the Old Testament, and they would point to it, and they would say, "Well, are you truly a Christian? Are you truly one of the people of God? Here's a measurement for salvation. Are you participating in these special festivals? Are you keeping kosher. And so these things became for them a measuring tape. They would hold it up against the Colossians. They would say, you fall short of being a Christian. After all, the Word of God says that you are to do these things. But pay attention, brothers and sisters, to Paul's response. He turns on, so to speak, the light of the gospel. Paul says that these things are a shadow of the things to come, but that the substance is Christ. And so what does he mean when he's saying this? Well, if I can use the very image that Paul says, shadows, what are shadows? They're an outline of the true substance. They are a shadowy, a dark and vague description of the real thing. So brothers and sisters, if you were to look at a shadow, maybe if you know the person very well, you might say, I know who that is. That's John. That's John's shadow there. That's Mark's shadow. And you might be able to tell by the outline, even if you don't know the person, by the outline you can say, well, I know that that's a person. But shadows, brothers and sisters and boys and girls, shadows have no substance. If I step on someone's shadow, they do not say, ouch. If I try to grab a shadow, I will be left with nothing. And in the same way, brothers and sisters, the rules, the regulations, the fine points of Old Testament law were shadows of Jesus Christ. They were designed as signposts to point to Him. They were outlines of the reality of Jesus Christ. And if you read the Old Testament, brothers and sisters, as you go through it, you will find that it looks an awful lot like Jesus. You look at that shadow and you say, I know who that shadow belongs to. Prohibitions on food and drink. They were a constant reminder to the people of Israel that God had set them apart. That they were to be different than the surrounding nations. They were to be holy. God said, you shall be holy as I am holy. And so in the Old Testament, to not eat of this food was a constant reminder to them every time they sat down of their need for Jesus Christ. A reminder that they were not perfect, but they were susceptible to becoming filthy, susceptible to uncleanness. They were supposed to be a nation apart, but they were often as wicked as the nations around them. And so when they saw these commands, they saw there must be someone, Christ, who is perfect. Someone who will be perfectly clean. Someone without a spot, without a stain, who never did anything that was displeasing. Likewise, friends, these festivals, they pointed to Jesus in a variety of ways. They pointed to Jesus by sacrifice, because when the people sacrificed to God, they were reminded of the fact that they were sinners. Their sin requires a blood atonement. And so when they saw the lambs that were slain and the oxen that were slain and all the sacrifices day in and day out, at every moment they had to say there must be something more. When they rested during these festivals, they were reminded that there is an eternal rest waiting for them. All these things are wonderful, important. These Old Testament pictures, they are absolutely worth studying. And if, friends, if you haven't studied from the Old Testament much before, take some time to do it. It's the Word of God. It's worthy our study. we ought to study how these things point to Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, these things are not the substance of the gospel. They are not the substance of the gospel. Rather, they point to the gospel. If Christ has already come, therefore, why should we cling to the shadow? If I can give an image to illustrate this, friends, suppose you meet a man who is in war, and in war he carries in his helmet a photograph of his most beloved wife. And whenever he feels lonely and whenever he feels alone, he will take off his helmet. He will look at that picture. He may even grab the picture and kiss it because it reminds him of the wife that he loves so dearly. But take that same man. Suppose he comes back to the United States. He goes up to the door of his home. He knocks on that door. He's received into the house. And when he's in that house, he takes that picture out. And he kisses the picture. And he holds the picture to his chest. We would think that person to be crazy, wouldn't we? Why? Because his wife is at home. And he's hugging the picture. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the shadow of the substance. Jesus Christ is the substance of all that the Old Testament was waiting for. And therefore, brothers and sisters, when you consider the Old Testament and when you consider and when someone brings an idea to you, and says you're not truly a Christian unless X, Y, and Z, examine it. Learn the difference between shadow and substance. If Christ is the substance of the shadow, do not cling to the shadow. Learn from it. Love how the shadow shows Christ, but don't be led astray by false teachers. To think of the shadow as something beautiful in itself. And rather, friends, watch out. And I say this with love, but also strongly. Watch out for those who would cling to the shadow. Even today, there are many groups and many cults who claim all sorts of things about Old Testament laws. Seventh-day Adventists who will not eat pork, for instance. People who do not see that these things were created to prepare us for Jesus Christ. Watch out. Learn to distinguish between shadow and substance. Cling to the substance. See Christ there. Jesus Christ, friends, is your only sacrifice. He is your perfect King. He is the true temple. He is the prophet of prophets. Forget shadows. In the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, cling to Him. In the second place, friends, we ought to see here, God commands us also to avoid the false teachers that teach selfishness. Their false teachings are selfishness. Look with me at verse 18 and 19. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. To be honest, brothers and sisters, this passage is somewhat difficult to translate and interpret. There is some uncertainty as to exactly what things Paul is getting at here. But notice once more, friends, what Paul tells us about these false teachers and their teachings. And you'll find that it's a load of hooey. These false teachers, they pretended abstinence. This is what the passage says here in verse 18, insisting on asceticism. The word translated here could also be translated as insisting on humility. That is to say, they lived their lives pretending to be humble. You may have met some people like this. They radiate false humility. Woe is me. I am small. So very, very small. Tiny, in fact. But then they insist that everyone else must be the same. Certainly, humility is a good thing, but these people, they live as if they're humble. They try to force other people to be humble. Their idea of humility simply consists in not wearing nice clothes, not eating fancy food, or living in a fancy home, acting as if they are low of mind. They also pretended holiness. Paul tells us that the false teachers believed in the worship of angels. Elsewhere, Paul calls them the elemental spirits, the rulers and the authorities. He says these sorts of things in order to make us understand that these people believed that they had things that others didn't. These false teachers believed that they saw or that they knew some secret that no one else could know. Perhaps, when you look at it, perhaps they had some secret. Perhaps there was something that maybe only they could understand. And when you're not looking at this in the light of the gospel and you hear someone speaking about these things, it's all very interesting. And then he says, what's more, Paul says they pretended to have spiritual revelations. They spent time going on in detail with personal visions, personal experiences that are the basis for their beliefs. They tried to peer into the things that God has not given us to know. And so, brothers and sisters, when we hear about these things that these people were a part of, it can certainly be very interesting and attractive. I'm sure that for the Colossians, these things seemed like things worth following. Their visions, their pious worship, their seeming self-negation, all of it can be fascinating. And when you're not looking at these false teachers in the light of the gospel, you begin to say, wow, visions, spiritual revelations, special truths that no one else can see. Wow. Brothers and sisters, turn on the light of the gospel. Flick that light switch on and examine. He shows us, God shows us by his word, where the false teachers really got their teachings from. Puffed up in their own minds. Not from Jesus Christ. Not from his beauty. Not from the good news that Jesus Christ died to save sinners like you and me. No, these men, they were not humble or self-denying. They were puffed up without reason. They were proud. Proud of their so-called humility. Proud of their teachings. Self-inflated in their egos. Not pious nor holy. Their visions were not from God. Their thoughts were thoughts that came from their own mind. The mind of their flesh. And what makes it all worse, these supposedly wise, supposedly humble people, they were not holding to the head. Jesus Christ is the head of all authority, the head of the church, and all Christians are united in him. But these false Christians, these false teachers, they're not holding fast to him. They're holding fast to their own ideas, their own headship, their own hopes, their own desires. It is from Christ that the whole body grows. It is from Christ that the whole body is knit together. But these are apart, not united to Him, not held together or sustained by Christ, not growing in Jesus Christ. It is as if Jesus, the great ship of salvation, goes forward, but these false teachers were sitting in a paddle boat, content to go along, saying, our beliefs are better than yours, God. Even today, friends, there are many false teachers and many false churches around. I say this with love, but Catholicism, Mormonism, the Eastern Orthodox, many Pentecostals, some of these churches certainly better than others, but every one of them filled with many errors and false teachings. And without the light of the gospel, these teachings look deep and interesting and full of symbols. But examine their teachings in the light of the gospel. In the light of Jesus Christ, what do you find? Ugliness. Superstition. Tradition that turns from Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I apply this to your heart, and please consider these things very carefully. Be cautious of anyone who is obsessed with their own ideas. Be cautious of anyone who does not have Christ at the forefront. Be cautious of those who look to other things. Have nothing to do with those churches. I'm not saying that we stay away, or that we ignore, or that we mistreat Christians who are from other churches. Absolutely not. And I'm not saying that we sort of sequester ourselves off to a side of the world. Absolutely not. But when you speak with your friends who are trapped in churches that do not love Jesus Christ, warn them. Show them the light of the gospel. Say to them, look, friend, is not our Savior who died to redeem us, is He not worth more than false humility, than false visions? And on the other hand, friends, let your encouragement be found in Jesus Christ. Let your hope be found in Jesus Christ and the life that you can receive in Him by the Holy Spirit. In Him you can be sustained. In Him you can find growth. In Him you can find hope. Finally, brothers and sisters, Paul commands us here also to be warned from self-made religion. Self-made religion. Look at verse 20 through 23. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they're used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have, indeed, an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity of the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. In this last portion, Paul returns, gives us once more some summarizations, summarizes some of the teachings of these false teachers. And what you'll notice here as you examine them, friends, is that Paul admits that their teachings have an appearance of being useful commands. And note, key word here, they have an appearance of such things. They have an appearance of wisdom. Verse 23. The word here certainly refers to that appearance of intelligence that these false teachers had. They were spreading, we might say, a thin layer of beauty over their lives. If I can use a rather disgusting illustration here, I hope you'll forgive me for using a weird illustration from the pulpit. These false teachers were peddling dog dew covered spray-painted gold. Maybe you look at it at first and you say, wow, that's a pretty color, isn't it? But as soon as you have it in your hands, you begin to notice the smell. And the same was true with these false teachers. They gave things that initially looked rather nice. Paul also refers to these things as wisdom in self-made religion, promoting self-made religion. That is, to people who like to pick and choose their teachings, it certainly sounded good. Maybe you've met people like this before, brothers and sisters. They may say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And they go around taking this and that and the other thing from the religions of the world. They say, I like this from Christianity. I like that from Buddhism. I like the other thing from Hinduism. And before you know it, they've built a bit of a Frankenstein monster of religion. And this was what these false teachers were like. They had some aspect of wisdom in self-made religion at the buffet of belief. They selected many things. And he spoke of their teachings as things that seem, again, wise, seemingly in promoting humility and teaching people to pretend to poverty. Paul even gives us a list of some of their commands. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These prohibitions were about senses and foods. Don't eat this, don't drink that. Stay away from that other thing. Don't even think about that. He says that these false teachers seemed wise in unsparing treatment of the body. For those who believe that somehow they can make themselves suffer and they'll gain acceptance with God. The false teachers had an appearance, a veneer of being wise and promoting wisdom. And when we do not have the light of the gospel, that appearance is all we have. But turn on the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are these false teachers like? All these prohibitions, all the supposed wisdom they had, all the self-caused suffering, every bit of it may look nice, but in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we see it's all false. None of it comes from God. Their teachings are teachings of the world. They do nothing to put to death the things of this world. They are simply outward ceremonies. The Bible speaks often about such people. Consider just two passages with me. Isaiah chapter 29 says this, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Or if we can turn briefly, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 11 through 15 says the following. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. brothers and sisters. Consider these things in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider carefully what you are taught. Compare it with Scripture. Do not ask yourselves whether this teaching is attractive. Rather, ask yourselves if it comes from a faithful interpretation of God's Word. In the same way, when people come to you with issues of the faith, examine them in the light of the gospel. Bring it to the light of Jesus. Look it over under the promises that you have in Him, and remember as you do so that you have died in Christ to the world, that you are not united in Christ, that you have the presence of Jesus Christ and not shadows. And I pause here just for a moment, brothers and sisters, to remind you of this light. If you have not seen the light of Jesus Christ, or if perhaps that light has been dimming for you for some time, consider this, that Jesus Christ, the only begotten, the beloved Son of God, came to this earth, was humbled, and humiliated for you and for me. He went happily to the cross, paid the price of blood for you and for me, promising that to all who trust in Him, He will never cast them out. In the light of this good news of Jesus Christ, that He is a Savior for sinners, what are shadows? What is selfishness? What is self-made religion? Throw those things away, friends, because in Jesus Christ we have the substance. In Jesus Christ we have a true and enduring head. In Jesus Christ we have the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the light of the gospel. We thank You for Jesus, who is all we need, all we can need, all we ever could need. Lord, we pray that You would teach us to examine all teachings. Teach us to consider whether they point to Jesus Christ, whether they bring us closer to our Savior, whether they are from the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that You would help us not to be deceived by false teachers. We pray likewise, Lord, for those who are trapped in false teaching, for those who have been blinded by these teachers who would go about and steal away the truth of the good news. Wake them up. Give them the light of the good news. Shine upon them, Lord. Give them life. In Jesus' name, amen.